Dangerous goods, hazmat. The term dangerous goods is a specific UN classification for material transport and storage. Another name for dangerous goods is hazardous materials, hazmat, and it is often listed as dangerous goods, hazmat. According to the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary, hazardous materials are defined as any material that a country's relevant government agency has classified as a risk to human, animal, or environmental health, or to property, either on its own or due to interaction with other elements. A government's transportation authority may allow transportation only when proper permits and safety precautions are implemented. Similarly, a government may regulate or supervise hazardous material disposal. Categories include explosives, flammable or corrosive liquids or gases, biohazards, and radioactive materials. The International Air Transport Association's IATA's Dangerous Goods Regulations Manual defines dangerous goods as those articles or substances which are capable of posing a risk to health, safety, property, or the environment. Note that this includes not only transportation assets, but also persons, property, or a part of the environment harmed in an area of an incident. The International Maritime Dangerous Goods IMDG code defines dangerous goods as the substances, materials, and articles covered by the IMDG code. According to the U.S. Department of Transportation, items or goods are called dangerous goods, hazmat, when they are capable of posing an unreasonable risk when transported in commerce to health, to safety, and to property. UN Model Regulations. The UN publishes and regularly revises a two-volume set of recommendations on the transport of dangerous goods, Model Regulations. UN Model Regulations are used by governments for crafting related legislation, except for dangerous goods transported by the water modality, which has well-developed standards of its own. The goal of these recommendations is to prevent, to the degree possible, accidents to persons, property, transported goods, the means of transport, and the environment while still keeping transport feasible. Here is a summary of what is presented in these model regulations. General provisions. For example, there are exemptions for dangerous goods required for propulsion, required equipment such as fire extinguishers or goods packaged for retail sale and carried by the consumer. While most dangerous goods are not permitted in the mail, some exceptions are listed. Dangerous goods forbidden from transport include any substance or article which, as presented for transport, is liable to explode, dangerously react, produce a flame or dangerous evolution of heat or dangerous emission of toxic, corrosive, or flammable gases or vapors under normal conditions of transport. A set of definitions, such as defining a cargo aircraft versus a passenger aircraft plus units of measurement. A discussion of training requirements that use the term shall to indicate training is not optional. Training needs to be specific to the hazard class and division and be appropriate to the person's responsibilities. Training categories include how to pack, label, prepare documents, accept consignments, handle materials, and transport dangerous goods. Knowledge of compatibility and segregation requirements is needed. Safety training is needed on both avoidance and response. All employees moving or handling dangerous goods must be periodically trained and officially certified in proper handling procedures. Record keeping is required. Security provisions and related security training is addressed, with emphasis on high-consequence dangerous goods. There are specific discussions for each of the 9 hazard classes along with requirements for packing, loading, unloading, compatibility groups, how to list the materials and documentation, and so on. It contains flowcharts that help guide proper classification. Transport mode regulators. Due to the potential threat of hazardous materials, there are numerous regulations impacting their movement and handling. There are a number of international bodies that exist to regulate various transportation modes. By road, the European Agreement Concerning the International Carriage of Dangerous Goods by Road, ADR, may apply. It is applicable in the EU and 23 other countries, including Russia, Ukraine, Turkey, and Nigeria. By rail, the International Carriage of Dangerous Goods by Rail, RID, may apply, which is maintained by the Intergovernmental Organization for International Carriage by Rail. It is incorporated into EU law and in parts of the Middle East and Africa. It has 50 member states, including Russia and the UK. If they are being sent by seagoing vessels, the International Maritime Dangerous Goods, IMDG code applies. The IMDG code was incorporated into the Safety of Life at Sea Convention, SOLAS, and compliance is mandatory for all countries that were party to this 1974 convention. The code is widely accepted, if by inland waterways, the European Agreement Concerning the International Carriage of Dangerous Goods by Inland Waterways, ADN, may apply. The International Air Transport Association, IATA, regulates air shipments and publishes the IATA Dangerous Goods Regulations. This manual provides the details on what can be shipped by cargo aircraft only, by either cargo aircraft or by passenger aircraft, or are prohibited from any commercial flight. In addition, regulations of the International Civil Aviation Organization may also apply. The international regulatory authority may not be accepted or may be superseded by a nation's regulations. In addition to following any applicable international requirements, the shipper must abide by the requirements of domestic regulatory agencies from both the exporters and importers' countries. For example, if goods are being shipped by U.S. rail, the Federal Railroad Administration applies. For U.S. road, the U.S. Code of Federal Regulations, Title 49, also known as 49 CFR, applies. This regulation mainly follows the UN model regulations but may have additions or exceptions. For example, an additional hazard type included in 49 CFR is material transported at an elevated temperature. Similarly, Canada, China, Japan, and other nations have their own dangerous goods regulations. There may be additional national, regional, state, or municipality laws that further complicate the movement of these materials. Organizations engaged in international trade will need the expertise of specialist staff or service providers to navigate these complexities. Organizations often adopt the position of simply following the most stringent regulations that apply. Hazard classes. The United Nations Globally Harmonized System of Classification and Labeling of Chemicals, GHS, was adopted in 2002. A safety data sheet, SDS, for each chemical is developed that lists useful information on, for example, first aid, accidental release, transport, regulations, toxicology, and ecology. Revised every 2 years, GHS labels provide three vital pieces of information, a graphic pictogram, a signal word like danger, and a hazard statement. Most of the major countries in the world now use it. For example, it has been adopted in EU law as the CLP regulation and in the US as part of the OSHA standards. Exhibit 7-5 itemizes dangerous goods and their 9 hazard class GHS classifications. This is a global standard. Both the packaging, any overpack, and the container or vehicle transporting the materials must have the proper signs/labels, the pictogram plus the hazard class number and division if applicable or required. Words on the sign are optional except that radioactive materials must have radioactive on the label. Exhibit 7-6 shows a pictogram for carcinogens, respiratory sensitizers, reproductive toxicity, target organ toxicity, mutagenicity, or aspiration toxicity. This could be used for a compressed gas or toxic substance. Exhibit 7-6, health hazard pictogram. There is also a pictogram for marine pollutants, as shown in Exhibit 7-7 that can be added in addition to any of the applicable mandatory labels above. Exhibit 7-7, Marine Pollutant Pictograph. Handling labels should be used when the hazard class alone cannot provide sufficient information. For example, this includes a for cargo aircraft only square label, a label that indicates required package orientation, or a label indicating to keep away from heat. Degree of hazard and packaging. In addition to the hazard class and any applicable divisions, dangerous goods are further classified into one of 3 degrees of hazard levels to designate how the materials need to be prepared for transportation. These are packing groups I, II, and III. Packing group I is the highest degree of hazard to workers and emergency responders, and III is the lowest. The groups are based on the UN model regulations and have different criteria depending on the hazard class. For flammable liquids, packing group I is based on the boiling point, BP of the liquid, and is set at less than or equal to 35 to 95. For groups II and III, it is based on the flash point, FP. For II, it is less than or equal to 23 to 73, and for III, it is greater than or equal to this temperature. there are additional similar hazard criteria for oral toxic materials and dermal toxic materials based on the lethal dose levels in lab rats. For corrosive materials, it is based on the necessary exposure time for irreversible damage to intact skin. Packaging for dangerous goods involves starting with the hazard class and degree of hazard, then referring to the applicable mode's transportation regulations. Bulk packaging will need to follow different regulations than smaller unit-size packaging. Bulk packaging for dangerous goods is defined as greater than 450 liters, 119 gallons for liquids, greater than 400 kilograms, 882 pounds for solids, or greater than the equivalent of 454 kilograms, 1,000 pounds of water for gases, for example, the weight of the water that would fit into the gas container. Non-bulk packaging includes metallic, polymer, or composite drums or smaller containers. Drums can be packaged together using an overpack. Materials used to create a pallet-sized shipping unit containing several drums. Dangerous goods documentation. Dangerous goods need to be labeled with their 4-digit UN code and proper shipping name on the exterior of packaging and in the shipping papers. The 4-digit UN code is from the UN's Dangerous Goods List, which is a regularly updated list of commonly transported dangerous goods. The UN code may also be called a Dangerous Goods Identification or Classification Number. This UN code is highly valuable to logistics professionals because looking up this number will provide detailed information on labeling, handling, and packing requirements, special packing provisions, limitations on quantities by transportation mode, and information on any secondary hazards, for example, flammable gas that is also corrosive. The proper name for a dangerous good follows the globally harmonized system of classification and labeling of chemicals, GHS. The common name for the item cannot be used as a substitute, for example, potassium nitrate, not saltpeter. A label such as petroleum distillate, NLS, not otherwise specified, is sometimes used when the common name is more precise than the proper shipping name, for example, if this were coal tar naphtha. This is fairly straightforward for raw materials, but proprietary or complex chemicals may need to be described using their technical name, or if not possible, by their end-use name such as fuel stabilizer. Dangerous goods shipping papers also include a description of the product, its hazard class, its packing group, the quantity of material per container, a description of the container, and a signed statement from a responsible, liable, trained employee indicating that the goods have been properly described and packaged. The name and address of the shipper and freight forwarder / consignee, if any, must also be provided for air shipments and in some other cases. There should also be an emergency response contact number with 24-hour responsiveness from a person who has current knowledge of the shipment. Even if the other documentation, such as the bill of lading, is electronic, for example, for a documentary collection, the dangerous goods documentation must accompany the shipment to enable proper handling and proper segregation from other dangerous goods. In addition, a hazardous goods manifest, a document that solely lists out hazardous goods in the payload, may be needed for multi-stop deliveries where different bills of lading contain hazardous materials or dangerous goods. Air transport will require a shipper's declaration for dangerous goods and a specific callout on the airway bill of the presence of dangerous goods. Other modes have similar declarations, safety data sheets, SDS. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines safety data sheet, SDS, as a document that is part of the materials information system and accompanies the product. It was formerly referred to as the manufacturing safety data sheet. The document is prepared by the manufacturer that provides information regarding the safety and chemical properties to downstream users, and if necessary, regarding the long-term storage, handling, and disposal of the product. Among other factors, the SDS describes the hazardous components of a product, how to treat leaks, spills, and fires, and how to treat improper human contact with the product. Despite a significant amount of standardization that has been adopted for SDS, various countries have differences in what needs to be disclosed and how it is presented for reasons including UNGHS standards have been through a number of revisions, additions, and different countries choose to stay at earlier revisions for extended periods. This can result in the same materials having different classifications by country, for example. Different countries may require different disclosures be made on safety data sheets, SDS, since the understanding of various dangerous goods continues to evolve as research is done, but countries accept new findings differently. For example, one country may consider a material to be cancer-causing while another may be silent on the issue. In another example, the exposure cutoffs for a hazard may differ between nations. Each country's unique transportation requirements need to be included on the SDS, IATA Dangerous Goods Regulation, DGR for air. The IATA Dangerous Goods Regulations, DGR manual lists strict requirements for all air cargo shipments, flights both with and without passengers. DGR are updated annually, so be sure to refer to the latest version. Due to the vulnerable nature of a pressurized aircraft, the list of what dangerous goods are forbidden or restricted is broader for aircraft than for the other modalities. When wanting to ship dangerous goods by air, the first thing is to determine if the cargo can be transported by air between the two specific airports in question. And if so, what are the requirements for the aircraft type and carrier that can be used? The DGR manual lists the classes and subclasses of dangerous goods cargo that are permissible, restricted, or forbidden on commercial aircraft. Regulations for specific airports and carriers requires research outside of the IATA DGR. The DGR manual indicates which dangerous goods can be transported on either commercial flights or cargo flights. Some dangerous goods are forbidden on commercial passenger flights, but can still travel on air cargo-only flights, in which case the packages must be labeled as follows. Cargo aircraft only, CAO. Many other dangerous goods are forbidden on any commercial aircraft. The DGR manual has another way of limiting risk, limited quantities, LQ. Some dangerous goods become permissible to ship by CAO or have fewer regulatory requirements when they are shipped in limited quantities. The DGR has specifics on these allowable limits. Dangerous goods that are permitted in limited quantities will have specific safety requirements and still meet all of the required labeling and documentation for the particular dangerous goods classes. Many shippers are surprised to discover that some seemingly benign cargo is in fact a dangerous good for the air modality. Examples include dry ice, batteries, compressed air such as for scuba diving, vaccines, or medical test kits with biohazard potential. IATA regulations differ by the specific 4-digit UN code, aircraft, carrier, and airport. Computers, smartphones, tablets, and other devices powered by batteries are subject to various restrictions depending on the device and the airline. Certain batteries, for example, lithium batteries, may require airline approval because the batteries may spontaneously combust during flight. Shippers must contact the air carrier for guidelines covering the transport of batteries or battery-operated freight. Adhering to all IATA, outgoing airport, incoming airport, and carrier requirements is very complex and requires expert involvement. The main risk is that if dangerous goods are not correctly declared, the goods may not move and are subject to be destroyed at your cost. IMDG code for sea. The International Maritime Organization, IMO, regulates sea shipments of dangerous goods, HAZMAT. IMO publishes the International Maritime Dangerous Goods, IMDG code, which governs dangerous and hazardous cargo shipment packaging and labeling, and provides guidance on expected implementation of emergency responses. It has been widely adopted by government regulations, and so is the de facto standard for sea shipments. Dangerous goods shipments must also meet domestic requirements. The IMDG code is updated every 2 years, but during the first year of an update, shippers have the option to use the rules from the prior update. It consists of 2 large volumes plus supplements for additional information. Segregation rules. Segregation charts exist for the IMDG code for IATA air modality shipping for the USDOT and so on. The charts list the dangerous goods categories along the rows and the columns, creating a grid with spaces indicating what rules apply for the transport or storage of these materials. Here are some general principles of dangerous goods segregation. Dangerous goods in the same class usually can be stored together unless doing so would risk dangerous chemical reactions. Strong acids are segregated from strong alkali. Class 4.3 materials become spontaneously flammable or emit flammable gas in contact with water, so segregate them from all materials containing water. even if they are not dangerous goods. Class 5.2 organic peroxides and class 4.2 highly pyrophoric materials are highly reactive and should be stored in different facilities that are detached from each other. Segregate class 6.1 toxic substances from any food or feed products. Class 1.1 and 1.2 explosives. Class 6.2 infectious substances. Class 7 radioactive substances. And class 9 dangerous goods should be segregated from all other dangerous goods. For cargo shipped by sea, the shipper must follow the IMDG code. If the shipment is containerized, it is stored on deck rather than under deck. Segregation types under the IMDG code include can co-load the given IMO classes into one container after referring to and complying with all individual schedules for particular requirements. Cannot co-load the given IMO classes into one container, and one of the following additional segregation rules for vessel storage will apply. Away from, separated from, separated by a complete compartment or hole from, separated longitudinally by an intervening complete compartment or holding area. IMO class 1 cannot be loaded on the same vessel with. There is a list of IMO classes by UN number for items that cannot be on the same vessel. In another example, here are restriction types for the USDOT, paraphrased for brevity. No restrictions apply. Materials may not be loaded, transported, or stored together in the same transport vehicle or storage facility. Materials must be segregated in a way that leakage would not result in commingling. Typically, this means greater than or equal to 3 meters, but nevertheless, corrosive materials cannot be loaded above or adjacent to flammable or oxidizing materials, with some exceptions for mixtures that would not cause a fire or dangerous evolution of heat or gas. Explosives are subject to additional segregation rules based on their compatibility groups. An exception is that ammonium nitrate and ammonium nitrate fertilizer may be stored with Division 1.1 explosives or Division 1.5 blasting agents. Training requirements. International agencies and nations have regulations on dangerous goods training. The IATA requires employees involved in the transport of dangerous goods to renew their training every 2 years. While there is no mandate for IMDG code training, each country usually does mandate training. Fines or jail time for noncompliance are determined by the regulations in place in each country in which the violation occurred, but they can be quite significant. Note also that many ocean carriers require evidence of training within the last 2 years, which may be a more stringent training renewal requirement than a country's laws require. For example, the U.S. Department of Transportation mandates training every 3 years. Anyone who has any degree of involvement with dangerous goods, regardless of employment type, must be trained by first working under the direct supervision of a trained employee and then completing the training within 90 days of hire. It should be obvious that formal training on dangerous goods needs to be complete, comprehensive, and properly incorporated into actual practice by learners. Organizations should consider finding outsourced training if they do not have this in-house capability.